Welcome to Table Flippers Podcast. Table Flippers is an outreach of Greater Works Christian Church here in Lancaster, California. I am your host, Robert Enos, along with Chippy the Chipmunk.
If it wasn't for me, no one would listen to this show. It's all about Chippy.
Get ready to be challenged, to be confronted with truth and reality, and get ready for a revolution. It's found at Table Flippers.
Oh, boy. Here we go again.
I am Robo Prime, leader of the Robobots.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Table Flippers' extraordinary podcast, International Esquire, Wonderful Terrific. This is your host, Robert A. Awesome One Enos. I just like saying that, ladies and gentlemen, because, you should see the look on people's faces when I say things like that, when I'm with them in public or I'm speaking in a church or my church, and I say something like that, and people are looking at me like funny, like, who is this guy? What's he doing? So I'm having fun with it, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're having a great day. Today is Thursday, May 9th, about 1:30. That's actually exactly 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. I hope you're having a great day. I really do. Whenever you listen to this, I hope you're having a fantastic day, a fantastic morning, a fantastic evening. I hope that, and my prayers are that you are experiencing great things in your life, great prosperity, great health, great blessing from the Lord. You know, it's funny, I said that and it just triggered something. A little earlier today, I was just scrolling through social media, just trying to see what's going on out there. I scroll through social media because being the head of a church, being a pastor of a church, a lot of my church members are people that I know in the community, other pastors and such, they post things and I like to read and see what's going on in people's lives. Anyway, so I came across this little clip from a pastor. I don't know this gentleman. I don't even know where he was. I don't even remember his name. And I don't know why I even clicked on it other than I clicked on it. Oh, I remember why. Because like the title was something like Three Myths That Are Being Taught in the Church. And one of those myths, actually the first one that he was trying to dispel, was what he called the prosperity gospel. You know, as if being prosperous is a bad thing or an unbiblical thing. As a matter of fact, it's all through the scriptures. And he was really trying to say how God doesn't promise you prosperity. God doesn't promise you good health. God doesn't promise you all these blessings in his word. And I'm thinking, as I'm sitting there listening to him, I said, well, is he reading the same Bible that I'm reading? You know, Holy Bible? I mean, there's scriptures, there's verses, there's passages all through God's word where God promises us, prosperity. Now, when I say prosperity, a lot of people think of a dollar amount, like automatically I'm going to be wealthy and be driving around in a Rolls Royce. And that's not necessarily prosperity. I know a lot of people that are very extremely wealthy financially and their life is a mess. So they're not really prosperous. Prosperity is across the board. And prosperity, both Old and New Testament, speaks about success in life. Or, let me put it this way, success in your calling. And success looks different for different people. For instance, if I'm called to be an evangelist, that's my calling, that's my main purpose in earth, is to win souls. But let's say I make $1 billion, but win no souls, I'm not prosperous, because my calling is to win souls, not make money. But if I'm called to be a businessman and I spend all my time trying to win souls but not making money, I'm not prosperous. You see, my point is, when we get in, figure out who we were supposed to be, who God says we are, get into that lane and do it well, then we can be prosperous, all right? And you say, well, what about the evangelist who's just spending all of his time getting people saved, but starves or can't pay his bills because, you know, it's like the whole ridiculousness of many Christians' mindsets blows my mind. Those who are called to be businessmen, when they get into their lane, they can fund those who are called in other lanes where a lot of money isn't exchanged. See how that works? I pastor a church. I don't have what I call a secular job. Not that any job is really truly secular if you're a believer, because you bring the Spirit of God into it, but just for that mind, that idea I don't work a secular job. I don't get a normal paycheck for a 40-hour week, work week. I have untold hours, you know? I don't punch a time card. So I'm on 24 hours a day, and I could be called. I'm praying for people. I'm counseling people. I'm doing all these things, not just preaching and teaching on Sundays. A lot of people assume pastors only work 2 hours a week. God, I wish that was the case. But anyways, and the people that are not called to that kind of ministry that do have jobs or have businesses, because of the grace on them, they can help fund the grace on me. And then it goes that way, and it, you know, and onward and onward and onward. So we build one another up. I give them to them spiritual things that help build them up. I teach them the truth of God's word, even about prosperity and how God wants us to prosper in all things and be in health. That's in the Bible, by the way. And they help me by funding and supporting what I do. I support them. They support me. I support everybody in the church on one level or another. And everybody in the church supports me on one level or another. It's a mutual beneficial exchange. Mutually beneficial exchange, I should say. So it really works. And that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to work. Every one of us brings the fruit of the prosperity of the gifts and the callings we have into the mix, so everybody is benefited and is built up because of that. I don't expect everybody to be a pulpit preacher, okay? I don't expect that. Nor do I expect everybody to be on the streets knocking on doors trying to get other people saved. I expect our businessmen to be that, businessmen. Now, I do expect everybody, because the Bible tells us to do the work of an evangelist, I expect everybody to evangelize, but evangelize right where they're called. If they're called to be a doctor, well, evangelize other doctors, patients, nurses, technicians, and such. If they're called to be an attorney, well, evangelize in the courtroom or, you know, the court people. Evangelize other attorneys. Evangelize the people that you work with. Evangelize the people, your clients, or, you know, whoever comes to you, criminal attorney, they need evangelism. So, you know, that's the way I look at it. And for those of us who are actually called into ministry full time, we should be not just evangelizing, but doing whatever we're called to do. If you're called to be a teacher, teach. If you're called to be a prophet, prophesy. If you're called to be an evangelist, go win souls. If you're called to be a pastor, go get involved in the lives of the believers and help them grow. If you're called to be an apostle, well, pray and break through and expand the kingdom of God and release revelation and warfare. Well, we'll get into all that stuff at another point, but you see what I'm saying? And those who are called to the business realm fund the work of the ministry, and the work of ministry should build up the business people. Anyways, it's a win-win for everybody when we do it correctly, ladies and gentlemen. So anyways, I was listening to that guy and I was really just like down on it, because it's like, really? Are we still there? Ladies and gentlemen, those of you believers in Jesus Christ, are we still there? Are we still in that place arguing and fussing over the prosperity message or the prosperity gospel? You know, I don't know about you, but prosperity is gospel. The word gospel means good news. The fact that God wants you to be prosperous in the area of your gifting and calling, that's good news. So when people start bashing on prosperity gospel, it's the wickedness of 2024. No, that's stupid, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get back to the Word of God. What does the Bible actually say? Do you know what? There's a passage in the Bible. There's a passage in the Bible that says, and this is in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." So God himself gives you and me, everybody that comes to him, the power to get wealth. And the word wealth there literally means just that, financial wealth. So that's just on the financial end, ladies and gentlemen. There's also passages that talk about God wanting us to prosper and be in good health. Prosper, have success in everything that you do, and be in good health. Those are passages from the Bible, verses from the Bible. How can you run from that, ladies and gentlemen? You know, prosperity is good news. So there is truly a prosperity gospel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I understand that there's a lot of problems and there's a lot of people using that incorrectly, teaching it incorrectly for their own gain, you know, for their own prosperity, trying to manipulate people, control people for their own gain. And I totally understand that. And I know there's a lot of excesses in that teaching. I totally understand that. But we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater just because there's a few knuckleheads out there, you know. But get into the Word of God, read that. Anyways, I don't even really know fully why I was on that, only because that little clip of this pastor going off on that was, it really bugged me because it just showed that he's brainwashed, given wrong information, in the wrong camp, being taught incorrectly, false doctrine, whatever you want to call it. He just is not firing on all eight cylinders. And God bless him anyways. Anyways, I want to read this article. And on one hand, this article really bothers me. It made me angry, but it also kind of made me chuckle and laugh because, ladies and gentlemen, I know I've said this many, many, many times, but the Democrat Party, the liberalism in America is beginning to implode upon itself and unravel because of their own doing. It's all because of what the Democrats and the liberals and the left-leaners have done that's causing all of these problems, and it's literally causing their ideology to just unravel in front of all of us. And the more Democrats do, the less ground they have to stand on, because what they do destroys everything around them, including, of course, their credibility. And so I want to read this to you because keep in mind, as I read this article to you, we're seeing this happen all over this nation, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But we're seeing this happen all over our nation. You're seeing this manifest everywhere, and it's all because of the Democrats. It's all because of liberalism. It's all because of the left-leaners and the weakness in the Democrat Party and with Democrat ideology. This is, on one hand, it's almost funny, but on the other hand, it's not, because this is real world. These are people. This is our nation. And the Democrat Party, liberalism, left-leaning ideology is destroying our nation and destroying people's lives. So keep in mind, what I am reading to you is the product of Democrat, liberal ideology and policies. You have to understand that, because some of you are not going to believe this, or some of you are going to just be blown away by this. And some of you left-leaners are just going to try to make up all kinds of excuses why this isn't what it is, and why liberalism still works. And ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't. It destroys everything it touches. And the further left you go, the faster the destruction, and the worse the destruction. So anyways, let's get into this. Now, this is again from Daily Wire. This was published today, May 9th, 2024, and it was written by Zach Jewell. I believe I've read something from Zach Jewell before, but nonetheless, it doesn't matter. And what it, here's the picture that goes along with this, just so as I read the title, you can kind of imagine this. There's a picture of a city street. There's a wooden fence behind the sidewalk. So city street, you see the curb, you see the gutter, you see the little walkway, and then a wooden fence behind it. It looks like it's got to be a store because it says food store, and what appears to be an apartment building even behind that. So it's, you know, just your typical city street view. And then on the sidewalk in front of this wooden fence down the street, so between the curb and this wooden fence, all on the side, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, at least 9 tents of varying sizes, all like sandwiched together along this thing. And they just look kind of scubby because they're out in the middle of the city, right? And the title of this says, "Illegal immigrants refuse to leave encampment unless Dem," that's Democrat, "Dem mayor agrees to list of demand." Okay, so by that title, and I read the article already, this group of illegal immigrants, they're here illegally. You have to keep that in mind. They're here illegally. They didn't cross the border legally. They're not here with papers. They didn't do it right. They're here illegally. And the city wants these immigrants to move out from this area. And we'll talk about where and all that and why. And they refuse to leave unless they, but they have a list of demands. They'll leave when these demands are met. They're here illegally, ladies and gentlemen. People that are doing or a part of illegal activity that by virtue makes them criminals. It's as simple as that, ladies and gentlemen. And that's something that we've got to embrace and realize when we discuss this whole idea of illegal immigration. The fact that it's illegal and the fact that they're here illegally automatically makes them criminals. I know some of you have a problem with that, but it's like math. 1 + 1 = 2. It's not about trying to, well, yeah, but they're good people. Good people don't do illegal things. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, good people don't do illegal things. Now, yes, granted, some, not all, some of them get caught up in the moment. Some are here for a better life and don't know it other way. So I'm not even really holding that necessarily against all of the people that are here illegally. But the fact is, they're still here illegally. And that's something we're just going to have to settle. If I snuck over the border, the southern border, into Mexico, I would be there illegally. If I snuck over the border into any country, Canada, China, El Salvador, where else? Brazil. If I just snuck over the border and didn't go through the proper crossing, show my papers, show my passport and things like that, I would be there illegally. Regardless of the reason, I would still be there illegally. It may be for good reasons. Maybe I'm running for my life. Somebody's after me and I'm running for my life, but I'd still be there illegally. Maybe it's because me and my family were starving where we were at, and there's just no way that I could feed my family and take care of them, and I'm off to a better life. If I sneak over that border, I'm there illegally. Do you understand that? I know most, all, if not all, of my listeners are smart enough to understand that. So keep that in mind. And because a person is there illegal, they're a criminal by virtue of that illegal activity. It's just the way it works. Again, it would work for me. If I snuck over into Mexico illegally, I would be a criminal in Mexico. Now, maybe not on the same level as a cartel or a murderer or a rapist, but certainly still a criminal. So keep that in mind. So these criminals that are here, illegal immigrant criminals, they won't move even though the Democrat mayor is asking them to move because they have a list of demands. We'll move when we get these when we get this list of demands met. So let's read this. A group of illegal immigrants in Denver, of all places, Endeavor is refusing to relocate from a tent encampment to shelters unless Democrat Mayor Mike Johnston agrees to their list of 13 demands. So the city of Denver, the Democrat mayor of Denver, wants these people to vacate their tents and move into the shelters, okay? Shelters, you know, like a house, a home, a building, whatever it is, out of the tents into shelters. And this is in Denver. They are currently living in tents under a bridge and near train tracks as Denver Human Services Department attempts to get them into city-funded migrant shelters, Fox 31 reported. The illegal immigrants, however, want the city to agree to numerous provisions for migrants staying in shelters, including allowing them to cook their own meals with culturally appropriate ingredients provided by the city and giving them free consultation on immigration lawyers. So the city, run by a Democrat, okay, the city of Denver, run by a Democrat, said, hey, guys, we don't want you in these tents anymore. We want you in the city funded, that's code for taxpayer funded. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the people of Denver that are paying for that. All of us are. Because part of our federal tax dollars goes into, of course, the federal coffers, and then they divide it up and give it to different states and cities. So they got city taxes, they got state taxes, and they got federal taxes paying for these shelters, okay, in these cities such as Denver. That goes everywhere. Dallas, Fort Worth, Los Angeles, New York, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the city is saying, that this Democrat mayor is saying, hey, We want you out of these tents and into city taxpayer funded housing. And these illegal immigrants going, no, we are not going to go until our list of demands is met. And one of those demands is culturally appropriate ingredients provided by the city so we can cook our own meals. And free consultation with an immigration lawyer. Free. That means, again, you and I, ladies and gentlemen, will be paying for it, the American taxpayer. Nothing's for free. Nothing is for free. Anyways, let me go on with this. This is so frustrating to me. It's almost funny on one hand. I want to laugh, but at the same time, I'm realizing and recognizing yet again, when liberalism comes in, when these Democrats come in, they ruin everything they touch. You know, recently I ran for office. I didn't make it, ladies and gentlemen, but don't feel bad because I'm still getting involved and I'm still going to be part of the city and I still plan on running again the next go around, which is in 2 years. But nonetheless, somebody posted on a social media site, my social media, that they were interested in voting for me until they listened to some of my podcasts and realized what I was saying about them Democrats. And this person, I guess, admitted to being a Democrat. I would never admit to it. I mean, you know, I would never. The Democrat Party has become so wicked and evil and so convoluted and so weird that there was no way I would ever associate with it in that level, nor admit to it if I did. But she did. And she was really upset, you know, and of course, asking, well, did I lie? That's when she stopped talking. Anyways, let me go on with this. It says the city will provide an ongoing legal support in the form of immigration document clinics and including transportation to relevant court dates, the list of demand states. John Ewing, a Denver Human Services official, said the city is concerned about the migrants remaining in the encampment and being exposed to the elements. We've been offering time and shelter, basically just trying to get families to leave that camp and come inside, Ewing said, which comes with 3 square meals a day. You can cook your own if you like to. So John Ewing, Denver Human Service official, says we just want them to come in. They got 3 square meals a day, and if they want to cook their own, they can. So I guess that demand's already been met by Denver Democrats caving into illegal criminal activity. Let's go on. Illegal immigrant advocate V. Reeves said there isn't enough food provided by the city in the shelters, and sometimes that food is the food that is provided is spoiled. Well, V. Reeves, let me explain something to you. Number one, the city's not obligated to provide food to anybody. Number two, if it truly is spoiled, take a sample of it down and State Department, somebody, take a sample of it and prove to everybody that it's actually spoiled. Is it actually spoiled or is it just not what to your liking? Huh? I mean, are they giving you oatmeal but you really wanted cream of wheat? Are they giving you bologna but you really wanted ribeye? Come on, you know, really. And if it is spoiled, take it down, have it analyzed, proven, and then make a stink. I guess if it's spoiled, it already stinks. Make a stink of it. Let me go on. There have been so many complaints about the food being spoiled or not being enough, and malnutrition against children, Reeves said. Malnutrition against the children, amongst the children. Oh, amongst the children, not against the children, amongst the children. So they're complaining that the food is spoiled, there's not enough of it, and their children are being malnourished. Okay, mom and dads of children, illegal or otherwise, that's your job. It's not the city of Denver's job. It's not some Democrat's job. I know they think it is, but it's not the Democrat's job to feed your children. You figure it out. Get off the streets. That's not the way to live. That's not the way to raise children. Get off the streets. Get yourself together. And if you can't do it right and do it correctly and be part of the American culture and way of life, then go back to where you came from. Raise your children there. Do it there. Don't come over here and demand we pay for your children. Don't come over here illegally and demand that we take care of you, that we house you, that we feed you, and we feed you with the food you want, when you want it, and how you want it, and in the amount that you want it. You take care of your own. You take care of your own. And maybe if you put these same demands upon the officials of the cities and the states and the country that you came from, maybe you wouldn't need to be here. How dare you? This whole idea of this illegal immigration is so disgusting, ladies and gentlemen. There was a time in our American history, how did America even get built the way it is today? We came here looking for a better life because of tyranny in Europe, primarily in England and other parts. But because of tyranny in Europe, we came here and built a better life. When those tyrants followed us over here to try to take away the life that we had created for ourselves here, we shot them. There was a revolution. We shot them. We won that war, gained our independence, and the rest is history. I don't know. Instead of just pouring over the border for another country, why don't you guys rally the troops, so to speak, and fight against the tyranny you're trying to escape? I don't know. Just a thought, ladies and gentlemen. Just a thought. It happens all the time. Stand up for yourself. Take your country back. Don't come here and destroy this country because you don't like the country you left.
Yeesh.
Anyways, this goes on to say, the advocate also said the migrants should receive immigration document support. Why? Why should we be providing for that? Why should we be taking taxpayer dollars, our dollars, the dollars that I work for, the dollars that the American people work for, and to pay for these illegal criminals here? Why should we pay for anything?
Oy.
Anyways, the advocate also said migrants should, I'm repeating this, immigration document support from the city. Reeves said it is incredibly necessary for them to be able to navigate the bureaucracy around these systems. And that I agree. But again, why should I pay for it? Why should the American taxpayer pay for it? Why should the citizens that work, that live there, own property, own homes, and make Denver and Colorado work, why should they pay for it? Now, according to Fox 31, the illegal immigrants' list of demands are, and I'm going to read these, and tell me, ladies and gentlemen, does this even make sense? Keeping in mind that these people are here illegally, they should not be here. By virtue of that, they're criminals. And I'm sorry to keep saying that because I know some very, very, very good people that didn't come here in the best of manner. I know them personally. I know them. And the ones that I know are hard workers and have created a life for themselves and have since then become legal because they're hardworking and they don't want to be part of that group. So they are now citizens. I'm not trying to throw every Latino into this group, regardless of how they came here. I'm talking about these types of people right here that come here illegally. They're criminals, and now they have a list of demands, like they're going to hold the rest of us hostage until their demands are met. And really what the Democrat Party is doing just that. They are allowing people here illegally, criminals, to take hostages, so to speak, in that regard. And from the very people they are holding hostage, the very cities that they are holding hostage, and the very places they are holding hostage, they're still demanding, now you have to pay money, give resources to us before we're going to do anything that you ask of us. And what is this Democrat trying to do? Just get them off the streets and into shelters. Better homes than what they presently have. Anyways, here's the list of demands. Number one, migrants will cook their own food with fresh, culturally appropriate ingredients provided by the city instead of the pre-made meals. Rice, chicken, flour, oil, butter, tomatoes, onions, etc. Also, people will not be punished for bringing in and eating outside food. So they want to be able to cook their own food, but they want the city to pay for it. They want the taxpayer. They want you and me to pay for it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a job at work. Like I said earlier on, I pastor this church. I get a salary. I work endless hours. Nobody is giving me money from the city or the county or the state or the federal giving me money or fresh ingredients. I don't wake up and there's a box of fresh ingredients of culturally appropriate foods and ingredients for me to cook my own foods. It's just not happening. And I work here. I live here. I was born here. I was raised here. These are people that are here illegally. Anyways, let me go on. Number two in their list of demands, shower access will be available without time limits and can be assessed whenever. We are not in the military. We are civilians. So they want to be able to just take a shower as long as they want, whenever they want. And the city is not supposed to have anything to say. But again, we're paying for that water, ladies and gentlemen. We're paying for the electricity and the gas. We're paying for all of that. And they're saying that we're not in the military. We're civilians. Civilians? Civilians? Of what country? I mean, I guess civilian in the sense of they're not in the military, but you're not even supposed to be here. Anyways, number three. Medical professional visits will happen regularly, and referrals and connections for specialty care will be made as needed. So now they want us to pay for all their medical. And if they're specialty things, like if somebody has diabetes, somebody has cancer, somebody needs eyeglasses, well, they're demanding that referrals and connections for specialty care be made as needed. So who's going to say, who's the one that says they need it? Anyways, number four, all will receive the same housing support that has been offered to others. They cannot kick people out in 30 days without something stable established. So I'm assuming that means there's a 30-day policy that you have 30 days to stay in the shelter. And after that 30 days, if you haven't moved on, we'll move you on. And they're like, basically, no, we're going to stay here as long as we want. Okay. Again, criminals, illegal immigrants, they're here illegally. Number five, there needs to be clear, just process before exiting someone for any reason, including verbal, written, and final warnings. Now suddenly, what are they doing? Forming a union? You can't kick us out. We're unionizing. We're not working. We're not doing anything. We're not providing anything for anybody. As a matter of fact, we're just takers, not givers. But we're in a union. An illegal immigrant criminal union. You can't kick us out without first a verbal, then a written, and then a final warning. Lord have mercy. Number six, all shelter residents will receive connection to employment support, including work permit applications for those who qualify. So now they're demanding that the city, the taxpayer, you and me, provide connections to employers, to businesses and such, including all the work permit applications and paperwork and documentation and work, again, for them, for free. For us, we're paying for it. Number seven, consultations for each person or family with a free immigration lawyer must be arranged to discuss and progress their cases, and then the city will provide an ongoing legal support in the form of immigration document clinics, including transportation to relevant court dates. So now they want the city, that i.e. you and me, taxpayers, to pay for immigration lawyers. So they have it for free, but we have to pay for it. And not only just to discuss their case, but with long-term ongoing legal support so that they have, you know, in the form of immigration document clinics, and including transportation to regular court dates. So if they have a court date coming up about their immigration status, we're supposed to pay for them to get there. And I'm surprised they didn't say, you know, at minimum, a C-class Mercedes with air conditioning, with heating, nice stereo, you know, set at 70 degrees. Oy, this is ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. And here's the problem. The Democrats will cave to this because they're Democrat. Number eight, the city will provide privacy for families and individuals within the shelter. I guess, well, we have privacy in our little tents, so give us privacy in the shelter. So now they're demanding privacy. I don't know what that means exactly. Dividing walls, dividing curtains, so couples can do their thing at night without anybody watching, although everybody in the place will hear it. Ugh. Number nine, no more verbal or physical or mental abuse will be permitted from the staff, including no sheriff sleeping inside and monitoring 24/7. We are not criminals and won't be treated as such. No, I'm sorry, whoever wrote this. You are criminals because you're here in our country illegally. You're an illegal immigrant. You're a criminal. So yes, I certainly, if it was up to me, I'd ship them all back right now, especially with this list of demands. How dare you come here and then demand that we start paying all this stuff for you? You've done nothing to build up our country. You've done nothing. You're takers. You're not givers. And then you're going to demand, we don't want a sheriff. Well, if you weren't criminals, why would you be bothered by a sheriff or law enforcement in the building with you? The fact that you don't want the sheriffs in there tells me you know you're criminals and you're still engaging in criminal activity. I would put 5 of them, I'd put 10 of them in there because of that demand. Oy. Anyways, number 10, transportation for all children to and from their schools will be provided until they finish in 3 weeks. You know, I raised 4 kids, and even though they were primarily homeschooled, there were still schooling activities and such that we did. Did you know, in all of those years of raising 4 years, we never had any kind of transportation provided by the city or the school system or anything like that? We did it. When I was growing up as a kid, the only time I took a school bus was special, like kind of field trip things to museums or something of that nature. That's it. I walked to school every day or I rode my bike. Yes, it was uphill both ways, 20 miles in the rain and in the snow and in the blistering heat of summer. Okay, that's not true. We lived in a pretty decent place. But I walked or rode my bike. When I got older and finally got my license and was able to drive, then I started driving only when the car was available. But mostly I walked or rode my bike. Illegal criminals are demanding that their children are given special transportation to and from school. Okay, school, again, for illegal children. And I don't fault the kids. They're here because their parents or some adult drug them here. I don't fault the kids. I fault these adults with these demands. You must take care of my kids. No, that's your job, Mom. That's your job, Dad. You got to get them to school. No, you got to get them to school. You got to feed them. No, you got to feed them. You got to house them. No, you got to house them. Ah, man, what happened? Open border policy brought all the south of the border Karens up here. Anyways, let me see. Where else am I? Number 11. No separating families, regardless of if family members have children or not. The camp will stay together. So the entire camp has to stay together. Oy. Number 12. The city must schedule a meeting with the mayor and those directly involved in running the newcomer program ASAP to discuss further improvements and ways to support migrants. How about you scrap that whole stupid thing and send them all back home? That's what I would do. And number 13, their last demand. The city must provide all residents with a document signed by a city official in English and Spanish with all these demands that includes a number to call to support or report mistreatment. No, they shouldn't have to do that. Most all of those migrants, if not all of them, have cell phones or they have access to phones, cell phones and such. You got mistreatment, call 911 like any other normal human. You're in America, start acting like it. If there's problems, call 911. If there's crime, call 911. Anyway, let me finish it. I'm almost done. It says, Denver, a self-declared sanctuary city, announced budget cuts. Now check this out, ladies and gentlemen. Denver, run by a Democrat mayor, is a self-declared sanctuary city. Sanctuary city for illegal immigrants. It announced budget cuts. Now check this out. Budget cuts to police, sheriff, and fire departments last month to allocate more funding for illegal immigrants. The city is scrambling to shelter and provide for around, get this, 40,000 migrants who have arrived just in the past few months. 40,000 illegal criminal migrants show up in the last few months. So what does Denver do? Instead of saying, you're not welcome here, go back home. Oh, we're going to cut funding to the police, to the sheriffs, fire department, so we can take care of you guys. And now they're doing this for these illegal immigrants, and the illegal immigrants are not happy with what they're giving them and doing for them. And now they have 13 demands. Do you see how this works? Democrats, I hope you're taking note of this. I hope you're paying attention. You cannot ever appease illegal activity and those engaged in it. You cannot ever appease a criminal. It just doesn't work. They always want more. That's why they're criminals. That's why they're engaged in illegal activity. This is ridiculous. It says a poll released last month showed that Colorado voters are frustrated with the ongoing illegal immigration crisis under President Joe Biden, listing immigration as the top issue facing the country ahead of the 2024 election. Well then, ladies and gentlemen, there in Colorado, you guys tend to be very blue in your voting. Maybe it's time to go red. Maybe it's time to vote for the people that actually care for you and for the state and for America. Quit voting in these anti-American people. Quit voting in all of these liberals. Quit voting in all of these the wickedness that's destroying your state and this nation. Don't sit here and say, oh yeah, I'm going to vote. I don't like Biden. I don't like what he's done with the open border. Who'd you vote for? Biden. What are you registered? Democrat. Ladies and gentlemen, is there a mental illness in America? Well, okay, there is. There is actually a mental illness in America. We got people, men running around in dresses, thinking that they're women. We got women running around with butch haircuts thinking that they're men, and they're all Democrat voters. We got Biden, who the only time he seems like his mind is together is when he's eating ice cream, and he's just stumbling around. He can't put two, he couldn't even form a sentence. And we have people that are still trying to say Biden's doing a great job, but I don't like illegal immigration. I don't like what it's become. I don't like the high gas prices. I don't like the high cost of living. I don't like inflation. I don't like the lack of jobs. I don't like all of these things, but you know, Biden's doing a good job. This is the strangest thing that I'm watching and witnessing in our country. Strangest thing, ladies and gentlemen, strangest thing. And I just hope that many of you, like yesterday, I read some articles where many of the people in Chicago, of all places, a blue Dem city in a Dem, you know, blue state. I believe that's a fully blue state, but certainly Chicago is bluer than blue, typically. And many of the Democrats there are just saying, we're not voting Democrat anymore. We're going Trump because of all of this nonsense, because of this nonsense. And now here, Denver's facing much the same problem with all the nonsense, with these illegal criminal immigrants saying, no, you better meet our demands. You don't have a leg to stand on. And if this guy caves, if he caves, he's a fool. He's an anti-American idiot. If he caves, and these Democrats in Denver cave, anti-American idiot. They're already cut funding to police, sheriff, fire department just to take care of these people. And these people still want more of your money, of my money? No, 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 no. Round them up, put them on buses and ship them back to Mexico. Hey, And listen, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people are going to hear this and say, you know, oh, he's a racist. Oh, stop that nonsense. Stop that nonsense. Because it has nothing to do with racism. Has nothing to do with culture. I don't care where these people come from. I don't care who they are. I don't care where they come from. And I say this again. I'll say it about myself. If I snuck over the border into Mexico, I would realize and understand I'm there illegal. By virtue of that, I would be a criminal. And the last thing I would do as a criminal is demand that the very people that I invaded start meeting my demand. I want my food. I want my hamburgers with just salt and pepper on them. I want buns made the American way. I want American cheese on that. I want American grown beef. I want lettuce and tomato. I don't want no chili peppers on it. I don't want any spices other than that because I'm an American. I demand my American food. I want French fries. And because I'm not French, I'm going to call them freedom fries. And I demand you give it to me the way I want it. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. That's absolutely ridiculous. And I would know it's ridiculous for me to demand that of any other culture and any other people that I illegally invaded. Why has it changed suddenly? I'll tell you why. Because these immigrants are nothing more than political pawns to the Democrat Party. That's it. They don't care about them at all. They don't even want them there at all. But they need the support. They need the votes. They need to look like they really care. They really care, ladies and gentlemen. The Democrats really care. I mean, I'm looking at this little tear coming from my eye. I'm just thinking about it, and I think about how much the Democrats care, and they really care, ladies and gentlemen. I can't believe this, and those wicked, wascally Republicans don't even want them here. All they're doing is using human beings as political pawns. That's all this is. And now these political pawns are demanding more and more and more from you and I. Taxpayers. No, they're demanding it from the Democrats there in Denver. No, Democrats in Denver have no money of their own. It's all taxpayer money. They want you to pay for it. And I, ladies and gentlemen, I refuse to. Just like I wouldn't expect anybody to pay for me if I illegally broke into somebody else's country. I don't want to pay for them if they illegally break into my country. It's as simple as that. So ladies and gentlemen, here we are. What are we going to do about it? I think everybody in America, everyone in America that loves America, everybody in America, every true American, every patriot should write the Denver mayor. Oh, what's his name again? It's in here somewhere. We should all write the Denver mayor, Mayor Mike Johnston, Democratic Mayor Mike Johnston. Let's write him and tell him just how goofy he is and how stupid he is for cutting funding to the very people that save lives to give that money over to people that are just takers and not givers. He took the money from the givers to give it to a bunch of takers. And he is doing it with taxpayer money. I think they should scrap the whole thing. It'd be cheaper just to put them on buses and drive them back home and deal with this problem once and for all. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're as frustrated with this as I am, because it really is. It really is ridiculous and foolish what we're seeing happening right here in the United States of America. And we need to put our foot down. We need to say enough's enough. Stop. And one of the ways you do this, come November, don't vote for one Democrat. Red wave all the way. And let's make it happen this time. God bless you all, and I hope to see you soon.
Democrats make me sick.
Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Please email me at gwccrobert@gmail.com. gwccrobert@gmail.com. Now go out and have a table flipping day.
Oh, brother. How cheesy.
Should I have said have a chipalicious day?
Chipalicious. Now you're talking.
Say goodbye, Chippy.
Say goodbye.